Great, thank you.
Thanks for having us over here for a little while. You're probably one of the most important groups that we'll address on this. We're just getting started in phase one, as John mentioned. Last year, we thought we'd start with city groups, so that you're one of them. We want your input, not only as a group, as things progress, we'll have some things to look at as we go along in the process. It won't be get it all done and then ask you to look at it. That doesn't usually work very well. So we would like your individual input, and as he said, there's an email contact here that you can follow up on individually, as well as we're having a community workshop inviting the whole community in September. It'll be a big business over at the community center. So we have a whole plan of getting everybody involved. That's the whole idea. And we want all the diverse opinions. It'd probably be hard to come up with one vision. Maybe we'll come up with alternatives, but it remains to be seen. We hope you'll help us out.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been hearing a lot about the committee and the goings-on, and kind of look forward to, you know, watching kind of what you're doing and also possibly participating in it. We haven't taken it up as a committee, but I would guess the best thing for us to do, it would be, if we're going to agendize a discussion on this, we should probably at some point get some information so we have something to. So maybe we should, you know, get to one of your meetings or get a hold of Melody and maybe can provide us with where we're sitting right now. But we'll definitely keep in touch with us, and I'm sure Bob will keep us informed too as the committee moves on. So.
And I suggest that after we get the product from our community workshop,
you need to go to the microphone if you're going to talk.
Ed, I'd suggest that after we get the product from our community workshop in September, and then all of you could take a look at that and come up with. Seeing what those ideas are, you might want to hitchhike on some of those.
Okay, great.
I would say I think I attended some of the early meetings that were held up at the community center, you know, maybe 6 months ago or 8 months ago. And
actually, I think that was a prior group because there was some.
Is this the morphing of that group into a more formal structure?
I think it is, yeah. There was a community workshop that the city council held in October, and there was some work being done then. And I think the thinking gelled into the formal committee of 12 of us that were put together as a body in January 18 and July 10.
Time and date?
4:30 to 6 at the community center. And I think if anybody, you know, if you want to have somebody come over as a permanent liaison, that would be great. I think it'd be well received.
Great.
Super.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
both of you. Okay. Do you want to, should we add that to the agenda? Should we just kind of leave it loose for the moment as far as David and that kind of deal?
Well, if David's willing to attend the next couple of meetings, maybe we'll just list a report from him and then kind of go from there. Would that be okay?
Why don't I go to the June 15th meeting, see what transpires, and then come and report back on the July meeting?
We don't need anything formal then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll just list that he's going to report, and then we'll have met around there.
Okay, great. Thank you. I don't see anybody else from the public, so we'll move on to approval of the minutes of the last meeting, which we don't have, and we'll get them next month because this is budget time, and I've got a feeling that's probably fairly important. Okay, we'll move on to the monthly reports. Visitor Center. Peter.
I'm Peter Kendall with the Chamber of Commerce. I'm Peter Candela with the Chamber of Commerce. We come out every month with a activities report on what happens at the Visitor Center. One thing that really is amazing to me is the website that we have at the Visitor Center, or is actually the Chamber of Commerce and the promotion committee, that first page at Morro Bay. We have 580,000 hits on that. I mean, that is just, to me, astounding for our small town. We have about 65,000 hits that go beyond that first page. So it seems to me if we can deal with that first page and put, like we have on there, that little icon that on the current events, it will bring people in and flash back into the back pages. We have quite a few activities coming up. One is the jazz concert. It's Jazz Rocks Morro Bay. If any of us were all businessmen or have been businessmen, had opportunities, Jimmy and Laurel decided to retire in Morro Bay. Jimmy ended up passing away here in Morro Bay. The artists that play at the Monterey Jazz Festival feel that they need to participate in something related to Jimmy and Laurel. We're the only city that they're willing to do something special for and with. Hence, we are able to get the Monterey Jazz Festival artists, all the artists, most of the artists have already contacted us for future festivals. So our opportunity is this concert. This is the first concert. We need to make it a success. I think we need to bring our businesses together, our community together, and support this event. In the future, we're planning six artists. I won't name them at this point, but everyone who's been in anything related to the jazz world would know who these artists are. We'll be at the it will be a festival, not a concert, next year, and it's going to be hopefully at the Rock, and we'll have the ability to bring in more people. Thousands of people is what we're estimating. This weekend, this Saturday, at Morro Bay High School, is the first event. Barbara Morrison, Frank Kapp are the leaders into this concert. We have the Cuesta jazz group that's going to back up these two artists. We still have quite a few tickets left. We'd like to sell what we have left. What I'd like to propose is I have bundled up some of the remaining tickets, general admission tickets, which are $30. Students are $25 if you buy them at the door. But I thought I'd propose these to the businesses. I will bundle up 10 tickets and discounting them to $15 a ticket. So for $150, you can pick up 10 tickets. You can do with them what you make. You give them back to the high school. Actually, I have two businesses that have done that already. They pick them up, give them back to the high school students, and let them attend. And I have them in bundles of 25, and we'll discount up even more for 25. It's just a way of what we want to see is a more of a participation to this event, and I think it is worth the extra $3 each is what the ticket is. We're going to offer a dinner. This year it's going to be with the Tigers Follies with the artist for a two-hour dinner. Have a chance to meet the artist and have dinner with them. There'll be there's actually going to be a group there to entertain us. That's part of the founder's ticket fee. Also, your name would be on a plaque, put it into our chamber office for now and forever. And, of course, you get the best seating in the house. But the key, the best thing about buying one of these founder tickets, every future event that we have related to the jazz, you get in free. One time, buy it this year, the rest of the events, you get in free. And you get this nice little plaque, not this little plaque, this little envelope that you bring in every year, and then you just flash it and you walk right into all the events. I think it's worthwhile. I hate to see us miss the opportunity. So contact the chamber and buy your tickets. Contact myself for the bundles if you prefer the bundles. But it's worthwhile cause for I think for the benefit. The benefit is the are the students from Morro Bay High School and Cuesta, because we're going to be offering scholarships to the actually called music scholarships. So I would hope that everyone would kind of embrace this idea and buy some of the tickets from us.
I know that that this is kind of, I mean, it's amazing how fast this has come together relative to when I, you know, when we were talking to Susie 2 months ago, she wasn't even sure who the people were and that. It's unfortunate in a way that this committee didn't kind of have a little bit, you know, that it wasn't a little bit more ahead of things, because it would have been fun to get involved from a promotion standpoint on the website. And I even thought, you know, I'm thinking from a business person myself about your tickets and the people that are going to be staying with us, say, this weekend.
Right.
And that, and just, here, go to the concert.
Absolutely.
You know, that kind of thing. And I know that we could do that as a committee. So definitely keep this group in mind when you get your dates put together for next year. Maybe you already know that, but when you do, we need to sit down and get this to the committee so we can, you know,
well, I promise you,
we can investigate promoting it.
More organized, because we'll have over a year to do this. I think what rushed everything was the fact that we were able to get these two outstanding artists, and that the Monterey Jazz Festival is embracing, but Morro Bay. I mean, it's just, if we miss this opportunity, we're not going to.
Oh, I'm sorry, David. I'm sure, Peter, that you've thought about contacting KCBX, but I know Neil Losey would, I mean, it would be, in terms of jazz listeners on the Central Coast, I mean, I think that's...
We've already done.
Great.
Yeah, we've done all the radio stations, newspapers, we've done all the things that we could possibly do with no budget, basically.
What is the future venues you're looking at if it outgrows the high school? Or is that...
It's already outgrown the high school, I feel. Next year, it will be the venue will be at the Rock. We have to go through the permitting process. It took a little bit longer than we anticipated this time, but we'll be ready for it next year.
If I could just make a comment, I think that the key is, as I think Ed said, is if we could plan this, you know, like if we know that next year it's going to happen, because really what the real success of something like this is getting like a KSBY and the Tribune to not only get a press release, but to be a sponsor, because then, you know, they know ahead of time. Right now it's tough because it's political. They don't have a lot of extra spots to run PSAs, but in the future, if they know, you know, we can get them on board, you know, get them early involved, and I'll certainly donate our agency's time for it, because I do think that a jazz festival would be wonderful here, and I think I've always felt that it would be a great venue for that. And we talked, and not to steal the thunder when we talk about the budget committee, but one of the discussions that we had, there's always been, I think, a desire by the council and by other people to have more events, and I think that the key is to have, and this is what we had talked about in our meeting, is to have, you know, four or five, whatever the number be, but have less events and then do those events right and spend the time and the effort to promote those. And if you do that, you have events that what eventually happens, and what I think eventually will happen with the jazz festival, is after, and I don't know what the magic time would be, 3 or 4 years, you no longer have to promote it. Because you look at the Monterey Jazz Festival, I would guarantee you that there's no promotion necessary for that, because people start marking it on their calendar year by year. The Wine Classic is another example that took place, Archie McLaren's. I can remember when that first got started, he was out giving tickets away and trying everything to get people to go, and now it's a slam dunk, because they have a mailing list and all those people who attend from LA and they're the kind of people we want to have come.
So Jazz Rocks Morro Bay.
But I'd be happy to, you know, in those early stages, help the visitor center, help the city, and get maybe pull some of those partners together. You know, these kinds of things are really fun, especially when you see the rewards. Like the Endeavor was a good example of that, where we had everybody really into it, you know, to where they thought it was fun and something that they wanted to do. And so you have Charter and KSBY going beyond just, you know, doing a mention on the news, put a reporter on board the boat, you know, and that's the difference between, you know, having them be a part of it and really feel that they are a part of it. And I think if we start early and get people like the, you know, the TV station and Charter and all the other players, the newspapers, then when the time comes for the event, it's almost done.
It's the commitments that you just that you brought forth is what's going to make it. And I certainly appreciate that completely. I've already gotten commitments from the radio stations, and they said basically the same thing. You know, if we had some time, and certainly the Tribune was willing to do some things. And actually, we have an ad coming out tomorrow. It was just such a short notice. Heather is another, you know, we were just a little bit late about getting it into her paper. So we will plan it together. Unfortunately, it was rushed only because of the timing for the artist, and we just wanted to get it started. I didn't want to wait another year and then have something fall through in between. Let's get it started, get it going, support as much as you can support, and we'll take it forward next year, and we'll certainly plan it the day after the concert.
Sounds good.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions for Peter? Cool. Budget report. In your packet, I'll have a question for Peter here in a second. Is a page on our monthly financials. We had an adjustment that I wanted to bring to your attention that was made, and we finally have some money allocated to expenditures for the website development and maintenance, which was good news. So we see that we have an $8,600 balance in our website, and I know John's going to talk about that in a few minutes. And then the other thing that I was I believe I wanted to ask Peter, you folks have you now invoiced the city for reimbursement? For
we were working on that for the last couple of days. As you can tell, we're spending a lot of time on this concert and the activity center.
It's really stepped up the reporting process here. I kind of like that. For some reason, I don't know why, I've never had in front of me, and maybe it's something that I need to have available. And that is what the finance department actually budgeted for TOT, because what we do is we compare this year versus last year. However, we don't know if the city budgeted a 30% increase or a 20% reduction. And I think that's the number that's probably, well, we can say, you know, we can say here that we, we're doing better or worse. We really don't know that how that relates to what the city actually projected. So Joyce has been kind enough to kind of give us a little insight into that, and tell us that that the city can expect to come in at or just below the budgeted revenue estimate for TOT, which tells me that they probably budgeted somewhere around a 10% increase this year over last year, knowing that Ascot was probably going to come on board sometime in this fiscal year, if nothing else. Because that Ascot, they generate about $100,000 in TOT annually. So that's a substantial chunk of change for the city. So them coming back on board definitely would make a difference.
And if I could, I just wanted to make a comment that Joyce was really helpful, and that's who I met with sat down and went through invoice by invoice to determine where the website funds needed to go. She really made extra effort to make that happen.
Well, I don't know why. How long has Joyce been with the city? Yeah, that's what I thought. It's so funny because it's like this obscure workhorse at City Hall in the finance department. And I got to contact her later on today and give her kudos for her her type font to our report, if nothing else. But I do have a couple questions for her.
The city has one accountant, and it's Joyce.
Okay.
The whole city. So all the questions of that sort end up on her desk.
On her desk.
Heather.
Wow. That's incredible. I wanted to bring your attention to, and just briefly touch on the TOT. March, we're up to March now, and March of this year was actually down about 7.5% from last year. The last 2 weeks.
Crazy if you consider both those issues.
Right.
Well, the other one, though, I know Ed passed around. I think, Ed, was that letter you had earlier? Which I don't know when we introduced that letter, but I'm trying in my mind to figure out, having heard on NPR the 7:30 a.m. report yesterday, a study taken has shown that 51% of those polled said that gas prices over $3 a gallon would be affecting their travel plans. So, and I went on the NPR website to try and actually get the written transcript, and search though I might, that little tidbit never showed up. But so I don't know, since the gas prices did crank in about the first end of the first week of March, how do we factor that in? And I know, you know, Billy tracked things like when the park closes, and he's able to look on a monthly basis the revenue. But how does a resort industry begin to track the effect of the gas prices?
I personally think it was the rain, and I think the rain has two variables to it, because I have so many different other business type clients that there was a great depression that occurred, and I mean depression mentally with people. You don't really want to travel when it's nasty weather, and what happens is, because people aren't traveling, they're not also buying cars, they're not going out to eat. So then you have this ripple effect, and especially the size community that we have, where people just aren't inclined to buy as much. And I think that even transcends down into Southern California when they had the same weather that we had. So I think when this, and I've seen it, and I think it's not very scientific, but as soon as the sun came out those few days that we had it, I mean, it was like everybody kind of came out of their cave, you know, and went out and bought things and did stuff. So I think that, not to say that the gas prices won't, you know, have a factor, but I think that, again, I'm pretty thrilled that that would be the only 7% would be down, because that was a rough, rough month for everybody.
Yep. So
go ahead, Bill. As far as the gas prices, we have been kind of tracking them with our sales. I don't know how the rest of the community fares, but definitely when gasoline goes up, sales go down. And I don't know if people don't travel and how that affects the motels and the restaurants, but it definitely affects us. So I would say it would be a combination, not just the rain factor, because usually for us, rain means better business. People come in and get a hot cup of coffee when it's cold, and we were definitely down from the things that it's a little late now, but I almost started thinking, you know, Bakersfield and Fresno was really another market to hit again pretty hard, because they are close. I don't think people are going to travel nearly as far as they did. We've had to readjust any travel plans we've had just because of what it costs to get from point A to point B. And so it's a shorter distance we look at instead of traveling. Definitely traveling out of state becomes not an option, and so you look for something close by. Still going to take the vacation, but we're going to find it closer.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I can tell you is that we're involved, as I'm sure a lot of businesses are, with the County Visitors and Conference Bureau posting slow gas deals on their website. So there's actually, I didn't bring one, but there's actually a coupon in their different offers that you can put and the member, and then we're actually trying to develop this for morrobay.org to where each a member will be given a username and password where they actually have the ability to go in and edit their own listing to be able to put up special offers and edit them themselves. And one of those things that we're doing is a gas deal where we give people $30 back on if they bring in the little coupon. So it's a great way of tracking business, and it's an incentive to motivation to come over. So yeah. So we haven't done anything obviously from a promotions committee standpoint, but I'm sure that we'll be looking at that in the new marketing plan to see what we're going to do.
I think one of the factors that's going to happen with Bakersfield and Fresno is how hot it's going to get.
Right.
And if we're starting out now where it's looking like it's pretty warm. I have one client over there, three-way Chevrolet, and it's excuse me, it's funny whenever I go, because their benchmark of when they can take their ties off is when it gets above 90, and they have their ties off. And I think irrespective and of course, depending upon people's economic situation, that'll be a factor, but I have a feeling that the most of the people, if it's really hot, they won't care how much the gas costs. They'll want to get out of there.
Right.
Well, when we get to the brainstorming part, I'll take us back to the train and update on where we are with that, because the Los Angeles New York Times had an editorial by the acclaimed international writer T. Corhazian Boyle, or T.C. Boyle, who's actually speaking at the La Barra Theater, I think it's.
Numbers year to date. Before we leave this, I just wanted, also included is the county VCB report. They don't have March's numbers for us on this, but it shows you, it takes you through all the cities and the unincorporated areas through the month of February. I just had a question, that, and my question, I should probably, we'll probably need to call Joyce, but Bob, I was looking at the, it's interesting that this is the first month that the report from last year is laid out differently than it has been in the last few months. In other words, it's laid out the same, but it's printed different, like it came off a different spreadsheet or something like that. And the only reason I bring it up is because of the, we're up through the month of March, which is 9 months of the year. And in looking down compared to last year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of the 12 months have been adjusted. The numbers for 04, 05, 8 of the 12 months are all different than they were on last month's report. So something bookkeeping-wise has occurred in the last 30 days or since our last meeting that changed.
No, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think the source of the numbers might be different. In prior meetings, what you saw was a copy of the report that was given to you the prior year, if that makes sense.
No.
These are spreadsheets that are compiled and created in the current month. As soon as we get the current collections in, they create this spreadsheet. And it becomes the report that you see. I think these numbers over here are drawn from collections out of the accounting system, which have been adjusted for maybe late receipts, that sort of thing.
Right.
So there are adjustments that have been made to these. And the numbers that you're looking at for 0506, as long as we're working actively on this, we'll probably adjust. If we had a late January payment, we might adjust January on this report. And then, you know, when we looked at April's report, you would see an adjustment for January.
Right.
But when we get to the end of the year, we stop tinkering with this report for the prior year. So if we simply made a copy of it and put it in your packet next year, it would be unchanged.
Right.
Get it to the correct month. But then once the year is done, they're done with this, because this is not a revenue receipts report or anything like that. This is simply a management report for the committee.
So okay.
It's not part of the city's books or anything like
but
that.
But the other one is?
The other one, I suspect, is drawn from the accounting system.
Can I just, out of curiosity, because we aren't done with the year, why would the change show up? Why would we not just get a similar report this month?
I think that you can attribute that to the fact that Jim Kozer's no longer here, because Jim was the one who prepared these each month.
Oh, okay.
So Joyce has now picked up the task of supplying the information to the committee and is doing it in a slightly different way.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we might, hopefully then, if that's the case, the trend may be now to just give us a report right off of the, just print out a report right off the books, maybe.
I'm hoping that's the case.
Okay.
It may be the case, but it may
not. Okay. And the only reason I just started looking, and month to month, when I was looking at the numbers, it didn't look all that much different.
Right.
But overall, last year's numbers are up by about $6,000 than the, you know, from what this report showed. So it made a little bit of difference. So if you comparing this year with last year, not only was our year to date went from like a 10% above last year down to 7. Part of that was a little bit of starting with a higher number for last year, because I did use her current report for that, because I figured it was probably more accurate if, you know. Okay, I just wanted to find out, learn about that. So we'll see what happens next month. Any other questions with regards to, I guess what we should do. No, we've got that in a new business. Okay, that's all for that. Any questions about any of the budget numbers? Okay, moving on. Ad agency report. Mr. Sorgenfrei.
Thank you. What I would like to do is kind of run through a few things that we've been working on, and then go ahead and go through the budget sheet, because we really, this would probably be the last report that I'll give you as it relates to this year's budget, and then kind of how all the numbers are going to fall into place. And I think it would be appropriate to show the activity first and then go through the costs. If I may, the first thing we wanted to do was to show you the revised DVD. And do you think you guys have that? This was incorporating the changes that the committee gave.
It looks beautiful.
Get it singing, Nancy.
Want me to get you the script and then you can go through it?
Don't mean that.
What's that mute button? Well, I think this is really a lousy way to tease us.
You don't need the, I still need the screen, is that? I'll have another element for you to put up on the screen.
Yeah. I've got another player in the car, too.
Well, for my...
Okay, yeah, for your next move...
I wanted to talk about website revisions and changes. Yeah, I'm going to need that up on the screen if possible.
Which, this one? Or the
this was the one that looks like this. This is on the CD.
Oh, we're going to do that.
Revisions that we're planning to do to the site. Actually, they're being worked on as we speak. As you see on the front page, this is the area where we're going to be doing quite a bit of work. We want to try to make it a little more user-friendly and different. You know, I think a website is really one of those things that you change for the sake of change, because people want to come back to a refreshed site. They want to see something new, and we want them to keep coming back to our website. And so that's the design here. So as you see, the top, we're going to change the navigation to where it's up at the top. So you have home, our city, plan your trip, lodging, dining, activities, calendar, media slash film, and then Chamber of Commerce. On the side, we have like our really our kind of our new, some of our new things that we're offering, also things that we feel are important. Subscribe to the e-newsletter becomes our top filler, because I know that there's, and I think Billy was a champion of this, that we want to try to get as many people on that database as we can, and this will be one way to enhance that. We are going to be putting the DVD on the website, and have worked through the challenges of doing that. It seems that that won't be a problem. We're also going to put the 30-second TV spot on, so they'll be able to click on both of those and view those. And then the live webcam, which, again, has been very important. And then if they like to send a postcard, and then our contact information right up on the left-hand side, and then emailing. Then what we also thought would be interesting would be to interchange out some testimonials about Morro Bay and coming from a visitor's perspective of people who have attended. and we could even put in a picture, you know, if we could work.
Could I ask you, stop you for just a second? Can you, do you know legally if you can pull a testimonial that you saw from another website? Could you pull that ad copy and use it, or pull that copy and use it?
It probably, I wouldn't recommend it.
Because TripAdvisor.com has a lot of reviews of general, not just hotel stuff, but a lot of times a lot of reviews just on Morro Bay. And so, and by people who, you know, have been here. And so I don't know. I mean, it just seems
You probably could do it, but you, I mean, if you're asking me from a standpoint of, you know, you probably ought to ask the person if it's okay.
Yeah, okay.
But I think we could easily get, you know, several testimonials just from people coming into
sure.
the visitor center and letters. I'm sure that the chamber gets letters. I know we've seen several that really complimentary letters about people's stay in Morro Bay. And we could even put this on the website and say, did you have a great time in Morro Bay? Let us know. And then what's going to help us through, again, trying to get our message out with a limited budget and trying to get as much press as we can. Next year, what I'd like to see is as much effort as we've put on the website, put that also toward public relations. And I think as we go into next year, we'll have our press kit, we'll have the DVD. So we did a lot of that work this year. I think next year will be the year to implement that and have more of a public outreach for it to the media. On the next page, as you can see, as I pretty much talked about, we'll have a narrow header on the home page, response-oriented tools on the left, a testimonial, the new plan a trip feature, current event of a seasonal offer here. So we could also do an offer as well. Say if we did a gasoline offer, you know, come to Morro Bay, we'll reimburse you $50 for gas or whatever. We could put that right up there as well. And they click on that, then they go to a page that talks about it. And then again, I mentioned about navigation at the top, greater focus on media. And then we also revised the intro copy to play the Better Nature theme off. So that's brand new copy that's on the home page. And then if you go to the next page, this idea of plan a visit, we already have sample itineraries on the website now. We just wanted to put a greater focus to that. And there's all kinds of options that we can do, and a lot of it's going to depend upon Jeremy's software. But, you know, one of them, of course, is to give people their own itinerary. So if we have a family, that family, it may be different than what it might be for a couple that's empty nesters. So we could plan, like, you know, family trip. You know, they start with breakfast in Morro Bay, then they go kayaking, and then they take a trip to Hearst Castle in the afternoon. You know, they come back, do some wine tasting. I mean, give everybody the options of what they could do, and then some valuable information on how they make that happen with contacts and that type of thing. And then the planning guide creates summary tables for accommodations and dining. And if you look at the next page where it has Huntington Beach, we did a little research and we liked the way this was set up relative to accommodations. As you can see, it's pretty user-friendly. Guest rooms, in-room spa, pool, handicapped access, so people can look and view this and see what types of features that they have for their accommodations, and then that would be displayed. And then this will also go into what our database is going to, you know, that we've talked about. So if people type in, they'll also have a search feature, and they'll type in, say, oceanfront. Following page, additional updates. We wanted, as I mentioned, want to talk about finishing and enhancing the media section. And then history of the rock and our city section. We want to go more into what Morro Bay is all about. And then that leads to the next item, which is the press folder. And I have a mock-up here, but also we can look at it on the screen. I want to just pass this around. And again, the idea for this press folder is that this is going to be used not so much for trade shows. We'll have the DVD for the trade show. We still have an abundance, probably another year or two left of the destination guide. We also have the rack cards. But what this is designed for particularly is media. So when we have a media request, or if the volunteers go to the chamber goes to a trade show and an LA Times writer comes up, or a good example would be these outdoor writers, we would get them one of these press kits. And then inside that, it's purely a folder at this point, but in there would be the DVD, written press release, overview of Morro Bay. As long as we still have our destination guides, that would also be included. It's just a way to house it professionally.
John, while you brought the subject up, before I forget, Art, because you do get the email information from the VCB, did you see that they're offering the tabletops at Embassy? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's something that we should be? I mean, it's not very much money.
No, I think it's only. I think any type of outreach we can do to that group, I think that we should go for it, because I really think that. Above all of our competitor cities, I think outdoor riders are going to be more apt to ride here.
Well, that's what we're trying to promote, is outdoor activities.
Absolutely.
And you got 93 riders coming in from all over the United States,
right.
You know, here to send. They're converging on the county, so. And they're going.
As you take yourself through and see the mock-up, the cover, then the inside front, or inside of the folder, would actually be four color too, where the pockets are. And just to really create a really nice professional-looking piece that would go to the writer at Travel and Leisure, National Geographic, Traveler, those types of publications. And then the back, as you can see, would, again, incorporate different activities and features of Morro Bay. And that mock-up, too, that Discover Morro Bay, California, would be much brighter and enhanced.
Okay.
Just the way it copied.
The horseback riding.
Horseback riding at Montano de Oro.
Oh, okay.
But if you guys don't...
That's one of the things that they wanted to do, was go horseback riding. I know they can. Bill?
You have trouble riding a horse if you bring your own horse, but I don't know where you would go to rent a horse other than...
Los Osos. And there's eight. They can take eight at a time. I guess she's got eight horses.
You make arrangements in advance.
Right. Well, obviously, that's what they've done with this outdoor racing. But...
Yeah. There you go. So, but that's, you know, up for discussion if we want to. It's really to show diversity, and again, something that they can do that may be unique to any other destination. But we certainly don't want to promote something that's very difficult to do. Getting back to the press kits, what I would like to do is we have the budget to do this in this year, and kind of my goal is to exhaust this year's budget because we can't roll it over, and basically have the elements that we start out next year we won't have to pay for. So we'll have the press kits all printed and designed.
Plus, they'll be ready to go sooner.
Right, right. And hopefully maybe we can even make this outdoor writer conference and give them a professional folder along with the DVD. So my proposal would be to print 1,500 press kits. I think that would be, again, we're not looking for huge volume because we're not going to be going to a trade show with these and giving them out in masses. I mean, if we did a mailing to 100 publications, I mean, that would be really substantial. So the cost for that would be roughly $1,800. We have that in our budget for the public relations column. In fact, let me go ahead, and probably a good time to pass the remaining budget figures out.
John? This press kit is, all of the elements are available on the website, so if somebody didn't want to have a kit mailed to them, they could download everything?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They would have the DVD, and this is, again, just a further outreach. I mean, the reality is that we're going to, and what we hope to do, especially with the bigger publications, this is just to tweak their interest. You know, they will not, they'll come here on their own accord, they'll write what they want to write. But smaller publications, like, say, Visalia Times, Delta, or even some publications like even the Californian, they may run, you know, our press release and utilize this stuff more because they just don't have the staff to send out and have that kind of outreach.
Is it ethical in the press kit to send something that says, if you're interested to come, you know, write a story about Morro Bay, we'll...
And said, you know, we'll be more than happy to put you up for the night. We'd like for you to try one of our restaurants. It's an enticement. So just as it's bad for one group, it's great for another group. So if you get down to that level of kind of the regional magazines and newspapers and those things, it's totally fine to offer them that. I mean, a lot of them need that because they don't have an expense budget. A lot of them are freelance people, too. And they're just working for the, they just sell their story to the publication. So they have no reimbursement whatsoever from the magazine.
John, we're participating in the Outdoor Writers events. Will we have something will this be ready for that?
And that, what date again? I know it's
I'm not sure. It's the 1st of June, isn't it?
Not long.
I mean, isn't it 1st of June or middle of June?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is first half of June. I can't give you the dates off top.
Do you think that's possible, John?
Is it mid-June or the 1st of June?
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's possible if it's mid-June. If it's going to be a little tougher if it's June 1, but I think it is mid-June, I believe. I would imagine this press kit would take probably 10 days to 2 weeks to print, and the DVD duplication we could get done pretty quickly. So I'm hoping that we would be able to do that. I think we can. If we get approval today, that would be my goal, is to make that happen.
Can we get a motion if anybody's inclined?
I make a motion that we proceed with the press kits at the rate of $1,800 for 1,500 press kits.
We get a second?
Discussion?
Can we get a second first?
Okay, second.
Okay, now you can talk.
Discussion, and the only thing I would say is that, like we did with the DVD, is it possible between now and in the next 2 weeks or whenever you have to do it, that once you have a more completed mock-up, that we give it a once-over if necessary, like the PR subcommittee could meet just to do a proofing?
It is what you see. I mean, I'd like to get it approved today because I don't really, unless you want to take the horse picture out. Because if we're going to make that deadline, I don't think we're going
to. Do you have some concerns with the look of the folder now?
Well, I was thinking, yeah, I noticed there's not a golf picture in this one. And I was thinking there's more chance of getting people to come and play the course and do the golf, probably, as Ann had suggested, than to ride the horse, especially since you had that text about your inner Tiger Woods appearing on the website. It looks like that might be more of an activity that might go along with it.
It's probably not as romantic as the horseback riding thing, but it's probably a lot more realistic.
But didn't you say
that it wouldn't be? I mean, frankly, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't rather focus more on sport fishing or something like that rather than do the horseback riding from a realistic standpoint.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think the golf's a very good suggestion. It's okay. A very broad sport. We have a great golf course here, so I would like to see the golf.
Okay.
I'd like to see golf and fishing.
All right.
Well, also notes too, it's a contrast issue, but on the left-hand picture of the rock climbers, the person, the character, is lost a little bit. And this could be the kind of laser printing or the color printing that you're doing here, but if there's any way to, if the person had been wearing like a brighter shirt in Photoshop or something, just
I don't think you can look. This is a color Xerox, so yeah, everything would be pretty clear. And
punch.
That is the photographs that, you know, we have available, so okay. We may not have a lot of hiking. That's really, you know, to demonstrate hiking, which is actually
that's
very big activity.
In fact, as Ann just noticed, if you maybe crop a little more, this person sort of half cut off there, kind of maybe if you could do a shrink to fit, so without losing too much of the rock, we can see that it is a man and a woman, and there's your couple's, you know, thing going on there.
Okay.
So the suggestion is, and I would guess that our first and second on the motion would include the changing of the horse photograph to golf, and to try to do some tweaking of the hiking photograph.
Make sure that when we have couples that we can see them all in the picture.
And then what about the fishing? Where do you want to put that?
Well, I don't.
I mean, I think we have to keep in mind that we have to take something away in order to add something, because right now I think the layout's perfect. So, I mean, we do have the sailing photo inside on the inside flap. I mean, it doesn't indicate fishing, but it certainly.
And again, I think that we have to recognize this is a.
It's a folder.
It's
not a brochure.
Right.
I mean, they're going
to
have the destination guide in here along with the DVD.
All
right.
The fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Say what?
Or withdraw the fishing.
Okay, the carp has left the building. Okay, with those changes, are those okay with you, John, as far
sure.
as practical stuff?
Sure.
And is we all right? Okay.
Just to quickly tell everybody, we added audio to support the events. We also put a disclaimer up on the beach with the pets. Those are pretty much the two main changes that occurred.
And a formidable place for the Chumash and Salinian tribes. Its nickname, one of the Nine Sisters, a string of ancient volcanic peaks. But most of all, it's a symbol for the natural beauty of the town that shares its name. Pour away and discover through better nature. Morovay's beautiful natural environment gives rise to countless outdoor adventures. Excellent mountain biking and hiking with rewarding vistas at every turnout. There's golf at our spectacular Oceanside Championship course with ocean views from all 18 holes. And perhaps most importantly, there's spectacular wildlife. Estuaries are among the richest habitats known, and the Morovay National Estuary represents an important stopover on the Pacific Flyway and a critical winter home to over 70 bird species. The bay and its 48,000-acre watershed rank among the top sites in the nation during the Audubon Christmas bird count. Learn more about the estuary program. Visit our Museum of Natural History, where you'll find displays and activities to interest folks of all ages, with nature walks, lectures, and our popular gift shop with fascinating exhibits. Morro Bay itself is home to sea otters, sea lions, and seals. And of course, the Great Pacific Whale Migration offers premier whale watching opportunities during the season. The bay is also home to world-class sailing and kayaking, with ships from long-lining, seagoing commercial fishing catches to luxury yachts. You'll find just about every kind of boat there is in Morro Bay, where you can explore the fascinating maritime heritage of this traditional coastal fishing village. To the north of Morro Rock, there's a wide-open ocean with rugged, crashing waves for surfing, boogie boarding, deep-sea fishing, and the newest sport, kiteboarding. In just a few minutes to the south, you'll discover Montana de Oro, 8,000 acres of oceanic beauty with natural coves and over 5 miles of sandy, unspoiled beach. The sand spit that defines the outer edge of Morro Harbor, unspoiled, broad beach vistas that you can enjoy all by yourselves. North of the Rock, you'll find one of the most beautiful, pet-friendly beaches on the Central Coast. Whatever your taste and budget, with over 900 hotel rooms available, we have one ideally suited to accommodate you. Just as importantly, there's a selection of restaurants to please every palate and every wallet. From gourmet moonlit dinners for two to family fiestas, Morro Bay is home to over 50 restaurants, all of them eager to please. And if you love seafood, you've definitely come to the right place. Hospitality extends to our three distinct shopping districts, too. The Embarcadero along the waterfront, a charming old town area above the popular Embarcadero and North Morro Bay, invite you to discover a variety of unique stores and products to please everyone in the family, from rare antiques to the most modern surf gear. Morro Bay's natural beauty lures artists from all over the world. Here, the surroundings nourish the artistic soul, giving rise to some of the most prestigious art galleries on the Central Coast. You'll find exquisite paintings, sculptures, metalwork, ceramics, and more. Schedule at least a couple of hours just to browse the many
shops. We're going to slow down. That's one of the
family heirlooms are waiting to be discovered. It's probably most evident in our spectacular romantic sunsets. Here is a quiet, reflective time to contemplate nature as it paints a nightly masterpiece and to express your gratitude for sharing time away together.
You in a hurry, Ann?
Do more than discover your better nature. Taste it. California's Central Coast is one of the preeminent wine regions of the world. Just a short drive from Morro Bay, you'll discover over 90 vintners, many with tasting rooms where you can sample gold and silver medal winning vintages. And plan on visiting the nearby Hearst Castle, truly one of the wonders of the modern world, and one of California's most popular tourist attractions, drawing hundreds of thousands of visitors a year. If you haven't experienced it lately, it's a must-see. One of the recent highlights includes the National Geographic Theater, with its iWorks movie screen, based on the life of the castle's creator, William Randolph Hearst. Just a little further up the beautiful Highway 1, you'll discover the southern tip of Big Sur, home to the elephant seals. At certain times of the year, thousands of these remarkable mammals congregate in one of nature's timeless rituals. In the fall, it's the annual Harbor Festival and Festival After Dark.
So you can see adding that audio, I think, helped it because it was all... No audio during that whole.
So you can feed your soul. Morro Bay is easy to get to, and a great 3 or 4 day stay where you can relax, refresh, and recharge. Can you hear it? Your better nature is calling you, and it's calling you to Morro Bay.
Yep, that's the end.
No, wait.
Maybe we should add the end on the
good
end.
Job, John.
Very so good. Those are the changes that we had discussed. And the only thing that there was one other catch there that I don't know if anybody, that we will go on through one more time. He said habitat instead of habitat. So we have to change from that. So I thought that's a pretty big one. So we'll go ahead and have him slow down. There's pauses that we can make to catch up, you know, to give a more of a pause there when you talk about all the art. That, so
the motivation for the pause, yeah, I saw, was that you have this painting, which then dissolves to the real thing, but the dissolve is so fast you lose the dramatic gimp. That's, I think, where that scene is. Oh, it's not a painting, it's the real thing. And that, and I was thinking when Anne accidentally hit the lights, because it seemed like the end, but that's a good sign that someone thought that was a transition. It goes directly to black, then it comes up from black. But if that made someone think it was the end, it might do the thing where it goes to black, but it never quite touches black, and the fade in to the wine signs is from white. So there's that sort of, where it goes to that sort of grayish burst. I talked to the video editor, it's one of those After Effects effects.
I'm planning on re-editing it, though.
You can't.
The audio. If we're going to make this deadline, because it's pretty much done.
All right.
What I could do is maybe we could step up the audio to go over that. You've got to remember that the way this is designed, this is predominantly for press writers. So there are chapters here, and there those transitions are built in. And when we put this on the website, it's going there. And I when I talked to the gentleman that's going to help us with the technology of putting it on, thought it made a lot of sense because when we wrote this and produced it, we did it like the destination guide. So you can see the transitions of accommodations, watchable wildlife, activities, and you know, it's at this point, if we're going to, I mean, to go back in and re-edit would be, take some more time.
One of the things that I wanted to just as we go through this, which means I don't think we want to lock ourselves into a bazillion of these and then they just, you know. Now, I know, like you said, once they start making copies, it isn't all that much more, but you know what, if we did 50 and they ran out tomorrow, but oh, by the way, we've got this to change anyway, let's do it now and then do you know. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out to where we don't
What I was going to propose is that we would we duplicate 500. We're already going to give 100 away, and that would, now that may be too many if you want to change it, say, come September. But what my hope was is that, again, we would get, you know, we have the funds to do it now, that we would go ahead and get us going for next year so we don't have to dip into that. But the cost, there's two different costs, too. There's one for replicating and there's one for duplicating. You want to make sure that you have it where it can play on everybody's machine. Otherwise, you know, the cheap way to go is that it has to play on a DVD-R. You know, so you want to make it so it's compatible with everybody's machine, and that costs a little bit more. And then also, it's most of these houses, they're so used to duplicating these and then providing, you know, the jewel case and the label. That's also included too. We'd give them the design, But that, it'd be a finished piece then, ready to go, which is what we need for the travel riders as well. And that cost to duplicate these, if we did 500, they're about $325 a piece, but that includes a full color case and label. And that would be $1,700 to do that. If we wanted to do, I don't really have costs for less. I'm sure it would be less if we wanted to do, you know, somewhat less if we wanted to do, say.
Well, it might be less total cost, but it's going to be more, it could be more per.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking.
But I think that, again, we have the funds to do that. That would take us through. Again, if we wanted to change, say we wanted to put the jazz festival in, all you'd need to do to get rid of those other 400 is to give them to the visitor center to take to a trade show, and they'd be gone in one day.
Right, or give them out at the visitor center.
It wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing either.
Is your duplication cost, is this for the creating of a glass master from which they then stamp them, or are these all burned?
I don't know.
Okay, because
we're taking this down to like LA to have it done.
Because the glass master is the one which they actually, you know, if you burn them, you have to wait for them to burn, and I guess they have giant stacks of machines that do that minute piece. Maybe having them burned, being that that's a shorter duration, might be cheaper than if they think they're creating a master for us that they don't realize we may have other intentions for.
Yeah, you might just, there's a question for you to get answered for us.
Okay, I'll find out.
John, I'm sorry. Do we need to have the full color case made, or can we just have like a sticker made that goes on top of the DVD and then put in like just a cheap envelope?
I think it's going to be cheaper to probably have them do it again, because okay. That cost to go ahead and do a label and all that and put it on, and it's almost that it's part of the service when they duplicate it. It's all kind of folded into the price.
Okay.
I think the nice thing is that we would get this and it would be ready to go. That's the other thing is the timing if we want to make this travel writers.
Are they going to print on the DVD the way you get a professional the DVD itself? And if so, what, you know, will it be done in a way? I mean, I look at the image of the Morro Bay where the spindle hole would kind of be somewhere between above the Morro and below that boat, and somehow that picture could be made to fit. I don't know if you have already given them artwork.
Do you have that DVD? Mm-hmm. I mean, we did a kind of a quick one just to put on, but I don't know if that's just the one we'd want to use. But yeah, that'd probably be the best. And this isn't even actually four colors, so we could maybe even go with this, and it would be cheaper.
And if I may, printing on DVDs is absolutely not a deal these days. If it's a case of only wanting 50, even our house could put out 50 for right in the neighborhood of that price. So if you're serious about doing a very limited run, you might look for other houses. So that's what you've got now.
I like it, and I like the subtlety and the fact that it is done in one color, which is inexpensive. The only thing I would add is under Discover Your Better Nature, somehow get the www. Morro Bay website in case the disc ever gets loose from its holder, or people stick it in a briefcase or something like that. And yeah, I give you a call. Nancy's is interesting too. I have a fellow who does 1,000 DVDs at a time, and he does them in the larger plastic jackets. And he's got them down to $1.29 a piece in the plastic movie,
you know, versus half of what the other price was. So, you know, we did get three quotes. But if you have somebody else and they're willing to, you know, produce it quickly.
Yeah, no, I'll get that for you.
John, is that using a full jewel case, a full thing? Mm-hmm. Because there are thinner jewel cases to use, easier to mail, and things like that. You really don't need a full, heavy,
right,
thick jewel case.
Yeah, basically the only description I have is includes jewel case, full color text. So I'd have to find out. Before we go ahead with it, I'd
Because the jewel cases do add to the price.
Yeah.
With the famous pop-up Morro Rock cutout, we'll let that go.
Yeah, I'm going to turn that project over to you. No, I think it'd be a great idea, and it may be the next evolution. But to get it done quickly and to get it done within what our budget is for this year, And then again, with the press kit, I think that, you know, having, I mean, that's a good point. Maybe we don't need a heavy jewel case because it's going to go inside the press kit.
Once again, we need a motion to approve the production of the DVD and the folder for that. I believe the price is $1,700.
And if you want, and we could do not to exceed, and then I could try to find
Or it could be less. That would be, yeah. You could make it.
Okay.
Less.
Okay. So does someone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to produce the DVD and case in a quantity of...
$500,
not to exceed $1,700.
Okay. I'll second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. I was just going to comment, Pete, that the San Luis Chamber of Commerce, when they do mail-outs for their free visitors' guides down there, they give last year's.
They give last year's?
They give last year's until they run out.
Right.
Sure. So, yeah. Okay.
Well, I think that we've certainly come a long way with the tools that we have at our disposal, with the press kit, the DVD, the destination guide, and then an enhanced website. I think we're going into next year.
With regards, before we leave you, the idea of the website changes. I know that we had some problems with the software when we tried to go up with it. You brought it back down, went back to the old lodging listings. Where are we sitting with getting that corrected and back up and running?
Well, I think what we're going to try to do is, since we're doing a facelift on the website as well, we're going to do it all simultaneously. And we're going to work on the enhancements and figure out how the DVD, there's a lot of things we're doing.
Right.
Put the DVD and what we've paid for. I mean, there is the data. The database
right.
is set up.
It's
a lot of work, believe me.
Right.
You got to have a spreadsheet, and you've got to go through and figure out each hotel and what they have. That part's done. The part that didn't work the way we wanted it to work was a technical problem. And what happened was there were certain issues that Jeremy's system just automatically did that we don't want. In other words, if there's no AAA rating, everybody got a 1. Well, that's not acceptable.
Right.
So we have to go back now. We have to go and look and say that's not going to work. So we need to figure out an alternative for that.
Yeah, I was on a car. I don't know if anybody caught that or went to the website and were looking at that short period of time when it was up live. But everybody in town allowed pets. And so I kind of caught me off guard a little bit. And so that was just the technical stuff that happened with the listing. So.
And then anyway. what we're going to do before we go live is we're going to present that to all the different hotels and let them go ahead and look at their description. This will be a time for them to update it. And then also during that time, and we may even want to have a meeting for this. I mean, it depends on how we want to facilitate this. But at that time, we're also going to be able to demonstrate to them how they can go in and change their copy themselves. And there will be some that probably will still want to rely on us to do that for them. But the nice thing about this software and what we've purchased, what you've purchased, is that they're going to be able to go in there in a very easy, friendly way. And that's really kind of where Jeremy's software, what his software is about. It's about the ease of somebody being able to go in and change things. And that, I think, will be very helpful. And then we just want to make sure that everybody knows about that, because it's a feature, and if they don't know that they can do it, then they'll never do it. So I think that's going to be an important part. And then just letting everybody be comfortable with what it says and buy off on it, because that's really what the flaw was, that didn't happen. And we're not going to let that happen again.
Great. Any other?
I have a question. On their existing webpage, we have a title, Find Us. And it gives a description of going north and south, and that's about it. Will this one have something better than that? And is there any way that you can have a button that takes you to MapQuest or Google Map or something like that, so that people can get descriptions? And the reason why I'm asking this is when I was at the Chamber of Commerce, somebody called from Las Vegas, and they had no idea how to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And our webpage was no help.
Okay, I could see how we could maybe
16:9 format.
I don't think
it was square. I like the idea of the widescreen fake high definition thing. I think it's really, really
good.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Great, thank you.
Okay, let's move. Item D, Public Relations Subcommittee Report.
Public Relations Subcommittee did not have a meeting in the past month.
Okay. John had it for you, because we're doing the DVD and stuff, so we brought the committee meeting here today. How about the website subcommittee?
We didn't have a meeting either.
Okay. And obviously, you've got some stuff to talk about.
We've so much stuff for us, we figured.
I think all kidding, I mean, that's really what happened. I mean, we had these meetings, took the direction.
Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, it's kind of like ad hoc, you know, you do it when you need to do it. And
we're bringing the full board, you know, to look at. So it did actually flow that way.
I constantly checked the website and saw that changes were being made and approved of them. And
knock it off, Billy.
Okay.
No.
No? Oh, thank you, John. Earlier on, I went to the webcam on the beach, and when you hit back, you just go into the loop from, well, I won't mention it, which is real frustrating as a website user. When I get to a site where I want to go back and I can't go back and I get stuck there, I'll close the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that this is something that I don't know what it takes.
What's going on? Is that what you just did?
It's up there.
Nancy, is that what just happened here?
Yeah.
We just went back to start over again at the webcam?
Right. And so in order to get around that, I actually have the other site down here in the tray so that, you know, I can be back at the website. But individuals using...
So the back button isn't working if you're at the live cam page.
Right.
Nancy, if you click, is it one of those where if you click close the screen, then it'll take you back, or do you just get lost? You know what I'm saying?
I could close the screen, but if that was the only
one, then it closes out.
Okay. I'd be gone.
So it didn't work.
Because usually you should have one of the two options. You can either close out of that screen or
open a new screen. It just stayed on that.
Thing. So the webcam isn't a new window, so to speak. There's something for you to do, John.
Well, again, I don't know how much we've been in. I know we've been involved in putting it on the homepage and linking to it, but I don't think we've had.
Yeah?
We talked about that, and we talked about, I think, in the last meeting that we had with the chamber about putting the different signage up above the billboard.
Yes. But it's on here because we haven't decided on the design for the changes to the billboard. So we wanted to move.
You were talking about a program, and I think it was tied also to the financial program for next year.
Right.
And that was one of the reasons you wanted it back on.
Right. Yeah, and I would guess because, you know, we're going to move into our budget subcommittee report here in a second, and, you know, that's probably one of the things that we want to do is get that billboard redone for this coming year, and whether we, you know, try to, if we know how much it is, you know, we're guessing a couple $1,000s, but... But anyway, so I guess for next month we need to, you know, we looked at the preliminary designs, but then we had a couple of thoughts on the look of that last month.
Maybe it's my misunderstanding. I didn't come away with a direction on what to bring back. I thought we'd talked about different designs, and I'm not sure exactly where we did leave that. Do you want a billboard design to approve at the next meeting?
What's the committee want to do?
Wasn't it more financial that we kind of wanted to, like Bob said, that we wanted to talk about coming up with a dollar amount that we wanted to kind of spend on the maintenance of the billboard and just kind of come up with a plan in general financially, and then once we had that, then we would go ahead and approve a design?
Didn't you have a design last month with
three different concepts, but I don't, and again, maybe it's my fault, but I didn't walk away with an idea about... This is
all right.
What we want changed to bring this back for approval.
Okay, so then let's just leave this at let's talk about it again next month, and maybe we can bring back, we'll go back through the design stuff. I know that we've discussed with Peter and the Visitor Center about maybe the possibility of adding the maintenance around the billboard to their reimbursables. At the Visitor Center to reimburse them for the cost of taking care a couple times a year of keeping the weeds down, the willow trees, and all those things so you can actually see the billboard. So we'll bring that, if we could, just leave that under unfinished business, and we'll bring it back next month. Okay. Report from the Marketing Budget Subcommittee. And I'm going to let John kind of review what we discussed, but we did have our subcommittee meeting here a couple weeks ago. But
partnership evolve even more. I think a good example is the icon for the jazz festival that's on the homepage. Stuart, who works with me on web designing, August put that on. He called August and said, "Hey, you know, I think I could. I got a picture here I could put on. You know, you want me to do that? Yeah, that'd be great." Everything worked together. I mean, the visitor center made us aware of the activity, and we tried to enhance it. Everybody was comfortable with that change. That's just one small isolation, but I use that as an example. So I think that part of that came from this participation that we're all, you know, part of the same team and trying to get these activities up on the site, trying to make them look professional, and all working together on that. And I think we have that relationship. The other part of it was that kind of looking at our budget and what we have dollars for and trying to determine unique and new things to do, I got the feeling from the budget subcommittee that we want to pretty much hold to our same philosophy as we had last year, and that is that we have some of our core publications like Sunset Magazine, ones that we know that are proven entities, but that with this limited budget, what we need to do is to try to enhance our public relations outreach and try to earn that media of which we can't buy. And I think that, as your consultant, I would say that's the way to go, because we need to try to do as much as we can to get stories written about Morro Bay to cover the holes that we're no longer able to place. And the reality and the challenge is, and I know this has been stated before, but it's just a true fact, even though our budget's remaining the same, it's being cut by 7% to 8%, because all of these, without a doubt, all of these media will go up, and they range anywhere from, you know, some maybe go up 4%, well then others may go up 10%. And Sunset Magazine every year is more money than it was the year before. So as we go year by year, we're going to be able to do less. But I think we have a pretty good core category of what, with the money that we have available, what where we're placing it. What I will do in the meantime, it's a little early now, but as I get editorial calendars from the different publications, ones that are going to talk about the Central Coast, I mean, that'll be, again, twofold. One would be, that's obviously people to hit with stories on the travel writer side, but it's also ads that we may want to, you know, look at versus being in another particular month. And I mentioned there was some discussion about the support of the Winter Bird Festival, in that it's an event, and we don't necessarily promote events with the budget, but they're not going to come here a month later and see cars, because they're not going to be any here, whereas the birds will still be here, hopefully. I think that's pretty much what we had discussed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I covered it all.
Nope. Got it. I don't know if any of the committee wants to add anything to it, or...
I guess there was a discussion of the lighted boat parade, too, and the promotion of that. I think we've kind of left that sort of up in the air as to... Normally what we've done is we've worked through the San Luis Obispo County Visitors Bureau and get a discounted rate. We run an ad in the Fresno Bee in Bakersfield, California, to alert people that they're having the lighted boat parade. And whether that's going to continue, I guess that would be the main issue.
Well, right. We'll continue to enhance the promotion of it on the website. But, you know, again, it's nice to let people know that don't know Morro Bay to know that we have a website. So...
I think maybe what we should do is we plan the budget for next year and we get more ideas about the jazz festival. Maybe we want to earmark, you know, some dollars toward that effort again, because I personally feel like that, and this was discussed too about events, because I know events come up many times with the council and figuring that, you know, we need more events. My advice would be to have, again, I don't know what the magic number is, but if it's 5 or if it's 7, have 7 really great ones as opposed to 20 ones that you can't promote or you don't have the force behind making them good. And what happens once you have those types of events, the nice thing is 3 years, 4 years down the line, you don't have to promote them anymore because they become traditions for people. Just like the Monterey Jazz Festival, just like the Wine Festival. People mark those on their calendars and they're going to come every year, and then more and more people come. And I think that would be a really good step forward for Morro Bay, and also have events that are going to, that people need to spend the night. And I think, again, I know we've always tried this for the lighted boat parade, to have, you know, where Friday night something's happening, and, you know, have activities throughout the whole weekend.
That's exactly what we're looking at. We're trying to extend a couple of the events, but I think we're going to focus in on about 6 events, mm-hmm. and we're going to maybe push some of the other ones away.
Right.
And it'll extend your audience outreach, because, like, for example, when you have Birders World or Audubon for the Bird Festival, if the Jazz Festival becomes that kind of thing, then you want to have, like, Downbeat Magazine, and so you'll be reaching the editorial staffs of a whole different genre and demographic of people,
right,
as well.
Absolutely, yeah. We're
not as costly, and that's the only thing that I know that would be more work for your staff to kind of try and investigate all of the smaller publications, but I do think that there's some opportunity to extend our dollars if we can go after the smaller niche publications and get maybe a broader coverage in that sense.
Well, I think that the only challenge with that is that in newspaper advertising, again, with the budget that we have, you know, I see us going in monthly publications just because we have that exposure throughout the whole month. If we, even those small newspapers, we're only in there for a day. And I think that's the real challenge. That's not to say that we can't explore that. And some of those local papers, I did a campaign for another client. We ran in the Acorn, which is the Thousand Oaks paper. And it worked very well because, as opposed to trying to get into the LA Times, you're hitting this niche target market, which has always been a target for us. My receptionist lived in Thousand Oaks, and she said, you know, people read that religiously. So there's the Daily Pilot is another example down in Newport. But the problem is that it's just one time. You know, we're only hitting them on one Sunday in the travel section, as opposed to something like Sunset, even though it's costly and it's, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 for a small ad. The shelf life on Sunset, you know, we get responses continuing after that initial ad hits. But that's not to say we can't look at some of those.
The free PR in, like, the Jazz Festival case might be something like the Jazz Times, which is a monthly newsprint, you know, about the size of the Bay News or something like that. That's a monthly one in Los Angeles, and you find it in every record store, music store, in the lobbies of all the major hotels. I know, because when I go to every 2 months to Los Angeles, I pick it up because I'm in L.A. and I want to see who I might want to see while I'm in L.A. that weekend. Well, it works in reverse as well. And that's the one where I think, instead of having to buy an ad, this is exotic enough that it would merit a free, especially since most of these musicians are really doing their gigs in L.A. anyway. They're just coming up here, but they're all studio musicians in L.A., and so that's... And there's a similar one for San Francisco as well.
And that's what feeds that magazine. I mean, they're looking for things to write about.
Yeah, they're the ones who would take the free room, I think.
Yeah.
Given the budget that they seem to have.
Okay. We want to... I want to go into the brainstorming thing. I know David's got a couple of things. I have to leave. So I don't know what...
I should do the one that you wanted to see the most first, then.
Okay.
Because you seem to hinge on it. And that was the I Heart Tourists campaign, which I had mentioned.
Oh, patient.
There we go. You can zoom in a little bit on that. I found this... It's a couple ways you can go with it. There's the heart with that black outline. I also like the more traditional heart without the outline. You can also do the printing where the tourists is done in a semicircular curved arc. Now, I printed this, and then you'll see I added sort of Morro Bay underneath it. I can't draw fonts very well with a pencil, but the idea would be how the people at trade shows knew who was giving this out, and that would take a little design work and, I'm sure, a little sense of style. But this is just one concept. You can turn the page, Nancy. That's the one without somehow just getting Morro Bay in on there. The other way you can do it, of course, is to have the eye above, then the heart in the center, and then the word tourist, which is the other way of doing it. And this company gets, basically, you can see, it's a dollar a button, and they're an out-of-town organization. But if you turn the page, thank you, Nancy, I found a St. Louis publisher, and their prices are on the left. They're actually less. If you look at the quantity of 100, and I can't see with my eyes.
195.
Okay, so it goes down a little bit, and it keeps the business here in our county rather than sending it to a mail order thing. So they say the turnaround time once they do the artwork, it could be as little as 3 days.
Are we looking at the 2.5 inches?
Two and a quarter. Yeah. Three I measured was awful big. It covered most of your lapel. This was much more reasonable. 2.25 inches, they said, is pretty much the standard. Yeah, that's about it, Ed, isn't it?
Yep. Yep. That's the 2.25 right there.
Yeah. So that's about the size of them. And like I said, the options are, do you want the heart in the middle or to use the heart on the side like that? And how to get the word Morro Bay in somehow, just so when you're giving them away at trade show, it's not generic.
I'm really surprised you haven't created the Morro Bay in the button.
Well, you know, it's funny. A heart
is your job.
I know a heart is upside down. I was looking for some way to get the silhouette of the rock and the letters MB into that. And one way of doing it is if you use the one where there's the heart in the center, it's eye on top and the heart in the middle. You could in gray, I was thinking, because you only get the three colors, black, white, and, well, in this case, red, have faintly in that Roman type, the same Roman type that we use on the brochure here, MB, at 95 cents a piece. I mean, they also include it. They have a graphic designer on the premises who will sit with you and do the layout, and I would assume someone who has
why,
more.
Why can't we put Morro Bay, California, like you hand-wrote
yeah,
at the bottom?
Yeah, we could do
just
that.
Morro Bay, California, comma, CA.
That's it, yeah, in gray. It's a question of picking, and I guess we could pick a font that matched. This sort of looks like a Palatino or a New Times or something like that, so that it fits in with the rest of the literature.
Was that stock artwork, David, or was that
stock? That's like off a website. Yeah, I'm saying I just put that up because I can't free draw. You know, you've seen my free drawings here.
Because I'd like to see Morro Bay again more prominent. Just dropping the tourist down and putting Morro Bay right across the middle under the I love would do it.
Yeah.
Take the Morro Bay instead of having it seen gray down below, make it bigger.
Just drop the tourist down.
So it says I love Morro Bay tourists.
Well, actually, you have to look at the diction, or is the theme of the campaign that Morro Bay loves tourists? Who's, and I'm going to get into a whole diagramming sentences thing with what is the subject of the action, but I thought the idea of the case, it's not that I love Morro Bay tourists so much as we who wear it in Morro Bay love our tourists and we become the ambassadors of
goodwill. Well, I thought it was
goodwill.
Each individual to wear the badge telling the tourists that I love Morro Bay tourists, and you're a Morro Bay tourist. I love you.
Right. See, that's why it's implicit. If you put Morro Bay above the tourists, you're saying I love Morro Bay tourists.
No other tourists. I just love Morro Bay tourists.
But I still think the thing is the loving the tourists, not the loving the Morro Bay.
I'd love Pismo tourists if they visit Morro Bay.
Well, and Pismo doesn't have a button like that.
Morro Bay.
But again, someone who knew how to do graphics could make those letters bigger and more prominent and in a different font. I just thought it can't be the same letters. It has to be somehow different from the actual button. If you'd like, I can proceed in the next week or so. I mean, if
I wanted to order them,
okay, I can meet with the graphic guy and actually get a genuine mock-up.
Just make Morro Bay more
bigger
prominent.
I would like to see us order 100 of them,
okay,
and just to get started, and we can change them a little bit if we don't
second time around. Yeah,
this can go on forever as far as the little Morro Bay thing. Just get Morro Bay, California on there, and. You know, I know you're not the most creative guy in the world, but I would think
maybe they could do sort of a marquee styled letter where it starts out smaller on that side and it sort of comes out and the letters get bigger. It sort of looks like you're, you know, wrapping the word Morro Bay around a circular thing, kind of like a marquee.
Can we get a motion to approve buying 100 of these for 100
subcommittee?
Yep.
Okay.
Public relations subcommittee. And then you guys have the authority to approve the design and get them ordered.
Now, in terms of timeline, when is the next trade show or public event at which these
this
would
weekend,
be?
This weekend, Sunset in Menlo Park.
Can't make that one.
Will you have the DVDs and the media kits ready by then, John?
Can't, unfortunately, make.
Let's pass this motion if we can. Is there any other discussion?
So there's not a time frame on this motion. It's to be done as is. Quickly possible, but not by a certain
noon
deadline.
Be fine.
Okay.
By the next meeting.
Right. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. I have to go. I am going to thank you very much, David. You are the vice chair. I am going to let you finish the meeting if you would so desire, unless somebody
certainly
else has got something to.
And I apologize.
Excuse me, Ed, who made the motion? Heather. Okay, thank you. And who seconded it?
I did.
Thank you.
I apologize, but I have to leave as well, so I'm going to sneak out with Ed.
There's no coffee left. I'm going to save you the trouble. I found that out.
And I apologize.
All right. Well, thank you for tossing the gavel over here. We're up to the brainstorming, which is exactly where we are. Were there any, Ed, any future agenda items you wanted to declare now before you leave?
So.
Okay.
We just wanted to make sure that the continuation of one is in trade.
All right. Moving on, then, I had a follow-up for Billy, which I don't know if you had a chance, when we talked about, and for John, the whole Allegiant Air thing involving Las Vegas, and I did do some research. I have a couple things for Nancy, if you wouldn't mind. The idea being to reach the employees in Las Vegas. So I said, well, okay, who's the big union there? And I did a web search on this. And if you see on the top, I pull it down just a wee bit lower on the page, it's the Cuisine Workers Union Local. 226 is the big, they have something like 30,000 members in Las Vegas. And it's a local union. It is affiliated with the AFL-CIO, but, I mean, it's specifically Las Vegas. It's not like you're worrying about hotel workers in San Francisco or anywhere else. And I went to their site, and on the about, or excuse me, on the about, it gives, with nice pictures, who you would talk to, and they all look like very nice people. And then if you go down, this is on their website, it says Union Plus Travel and Recreation, and they offer advantages for their travel and recreation.
Union Hotels. You're dealing with a union, and they want union, they're advertising union, other union hotels. Which I don't know if they're.
Well, I'd have to
take a prerequisite.
I'd have to take a look too. We'd have to go to the Cruise America or to their cruise ships, because I know a lot of the cruise ships. In fact, there are only two cruise ships that I know of that are actually even registered in the United States of America. And the thing is, there are only two cruise ships that are registered in the United States of America. All the others are like Panamanian non-union ones. So I would go and look at their cruises. If their cruises are not on. Except for the two ships that sell in Hawaii, which are the only union U.S. cruise ships I know of, then it means they're either slightly hypocritical about it or...
Yeah.
And again, what we're looking for, too, is I don't think we're selling the hotels, per se, is we're just selling the city of Morro Bay as a place to visit. You know, they may also come here and choose to camp in our state park, I mean, so to speak, once they get here. But anyway, I just... point out the contacts are there, and you're welcome to take them if in looking for this as part of.
Yeah, I did. I looked at it last night, and I'll take a look.
Yeah,
at
if
it
you take a look and send it on to the union.
Send some emails to them and
see if they're interested at all, and
see if Guido and.
No, see, they didn't look. That's the whole thing, though. When you went to the About page, everyone looked very...
Well, that's
it did
who I
not
put
look
up
like,
there, too.
Well...
I would imagine, and I'm just guessing at this, but since these are fairly large, like cruise lines, they're probably have gone to this union and said, we'll give you a substantial discount if you put us on your website. In other words, we'll give you... You know, each union member will get 40% off... Yeah, they've made a deal, I think, probably what it is, because every one of those is talking about some sort of a discount.
Well, this is also amazing. What happens, I found, is that it directs you to a union page, and then when you track this page, it goes from being Las Vegas to the entire union on the travel page. And what I'm thinking you might be able to do is when you go back a page to just the Las Vegas page, as Billy said, he'd seen the page, just speak to the Las Vegas people about creating a Las Vegas deal for the Las Vegas people. This is shown just because it shows the union does have an interest in the recreation of their members, but go back a page to the Las Vegas page and now speak specifically to them about something that's, as I said, their page and their union, 226 Local, is strictly Vegas. It, when you get to travel, it redirects you to the entire destination, is just offer them an introductory giveaway package. Here's a freebie, or for two couples to come and try this Central Coast easy flight getaway.
If you have any kind of monetary value to a prize, you can't do that because it's a lottery. In other words, you can't say if you buy a ticket on Allegiant Air, then we'll enter you into to win a con. You know, to win, you can't do that. what we could do is to say something to where, you know, sign up for a newsletter or something like that. But if you can't like car dealers can't say, you know, everybody that comes in and buys a car this month will enter you to win a chance for something. Isn't
they just can't advertise it. You can do it. You just can't put it on the radio or the television.
Because it's an illegal lottery.
That's right.
Or, again, offer just some, then offer a really, get the hotel years, they put together a really low-priced package.
I think that's what you'd have to do. I think you'd have to go to them and say, for all union members of this union, you're going to get, you know, 20% off your room.
It's not a lottery if everybody wins. If everybody can do it, it's not a lottery.
Right.
You have to have prize, a chance, and consideration, and it's no chance. If everybody who does something is eligible, there's no chance, so it's not a lottery.
So maybe it's like in August, for example, giving a few months lead time, and that's bad in Vegas, you would say it's a beat the summer heat from Vegas special, try this service, you know, you could have the link to Allegiant Air, say here's how you get here, and once you get here, we in Marl Bay are offering everyone 40% off for a midweek stay.
I agree. I mean, you're offering, it just gets back down, it's not a contest.
Right, it's a special offer.
You're offering somebody a discount, but if you, believe me, if you ask somebody to buy something, that's why every contest you ever hear says no purchase necessary to win. You can't buy something to be have right. a chance. What you could do is if they come here, everybody's got to have a chance to be a part of that, irrespective of whether they bought a ticket. And a lot of people, what they do is they still have a purchase element to it. But that's why you always see if you can fill out the 3x5 card and send it in. But it probably, I think, just again in looking at this, if we wanted to take this someplace, would be get the hotels together and offer, you know, a package discount, because that's what's going to be attractive to them. There's got to be something in it for them to put us on their website, and it's got to be where there's going to be a substantial discount. And we may not, and I don't mean to be negative about it, but it may not be
to the size of a CD jacket, and it went right to there. And then this was the die-cut pop-up Morrill Rock that was printed on both sides. Then when you opened it, all you have to do is score it along the perforated lines and the rock. And then in the foreground, you have the water over which you can have text on the flat part of the CD. It's all the same piece of paper that would be the insert in the... I just think anything... We're not using the treasure chest anymore, so anything that creates a three-dimensional reason to have it, it's just printed. Paper. That was the. I was presenting that, and then I know Ann had an item which she has passed out. And the last thing I'll follow up on was the trains, which again, this maybe could bring in what Ed had earlier. This letter, which I
don't have. It's over there.
But you had. Where had you? Tell us a little bit about the origin of this, Ed, if you.
The Chamber of Commerce received this, and they gave it to me to share with the members of the committee.
Let us share this.
I can share
the public
with everyone. It's a point of view. With the gas prices of what they are, this letter was sent to a number of people, including the Chamber of Commerce. It was sent to Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Governor Schwarzenegger, President Bush. So it was sent around from a couple in El Cajon, and it was to all vendors we would have used on our vacation in our 1955 Ford pickup truck. In December 2005, we decided to go to the Morro Bay Car Show, put on by the Bay Cruisers Car Club. This event is to take place on May 4th, 5th, and 6th. It did take place. And we were to continue on a 10-day vacation and cruise into Sacramento and different places in California. We were spending 4 nights in San Luis Obispo due to the car show, visit Hearst Castle, and then start the rest of our vacation after saying goodbye to our friends in Morro Bay. Every night we would have spent in a hotel or inn, and every meal would have come from eating out from a Denny's to a great steakhouse. Unfortunately, the 55 pickup truck only gets 10 to 12 miles per gallon of gas. This truck is only driven for events like car shows and trips down Route 66 last year. Gas was much cheaper then. And in capital letters across the middle of the letter, they wrote, "We have canceled our trip because of the cost of gasoline. We are retired and can't afford to buy the gas, but it has become a matter of principle, and we feel enough is enough. Some people will say we are only hurting ourselves, not going to contribute to the large oil profits and $400 million retirement package any more than we have to. We are disappointed, but we feel we have to make the right decision. So it's just a point of view about the gasoline.
Well, they didn't stay in Morro Bay anyway.
No, they didn't. But I don't know that anyone shares this.
But they might have had a stake here.
But it was sent to the Chamber of Commerce of our town, and it's just a point of view that they have. I don't necessarily agree with it, but...
But it's out there, and as I said,
yes.
If one listens to this NPR thing, which said, again, 56 or 61% of the people polled, this was yesterday, do say that similarly, I mean, they are going to let the gas prices are going to affect the what they're
planning.
Well,
as gasoline prices increase, I think more and more people's attitude will probably tend toward this area, but the question is how much... Does it have to increase before the attitude affects us?
Well, we know that the ridership on the trains is up because I just checked the statistics on that. And again, and to update what I did is I took the suggestion of Susie last time and tried to see if we could get the dialer ride in Morro Bay to do the shuttle for us. And unfortunately, they can't because their liability insurance expires at the city's limits. So, and unfortunately, the RTA doesn't work in San Luis because our guests go home on Sunday afternoon and there is no bus service on Sunday. So once again, there's no public entity that can do this. And I spoke to Augie, and I haven't had a chance. We've been trading phone messages at the visitor center. He was going to try and call the folks who run those giant stretch limousines and see if maybe they could commit to the one trip in each direction a week. Billy, have a
thought? I believe Silverado, which has buses and vans and limos, is located here in Morro Bay.
Oh, I thought they were in El Paso or Tascadero.
I'm pretty sure over by Miners. No?
No, that's not Silverado.
Who is that?
There is a bus over there, but it's not Silverado.
Okay, well, are they...
You see it parked there, but
yeah.
It's not Silverado.
Because it looks like it's going to be up to us in Morro Bay, as I say, to make... this happened. There's not going to be a municipal thing, and whether it's the hoteliers who have to get together or the restaurateurs and chip in on this, I do believe there's a thing in the latest Amtrak newsletter. I can't believe all the little towns getting profiled that they directly stop at. The Solana Beach, the Asparagus Festival, and I mean, we know Watsonville and Castroville are the garlic and artichoke capitals, now apparently Stockton is the asparagus capital. San Juan Capistrano, and then even any place where they do Coalinga Connect.
They're going to have to, you know, they have to look at it too and say, can I afford to transport people back and forth? I mean, somebody's going to have to pay. Whether it's the people that come on the train, they're going to have to pay for their bus ride into Morro Bay. I think the real frustration, and I share your frustration because I love riding on trains, but the problem is they don't come here.
If this was
it was San Luis Obispo, they should be all over this. But
you would think so.
The challenge is that it's unfortunate, but it's going to be tough to get them from. It's so infrequent, and how they come, and the volume of people to have anybody wait there for the people to get off the train, and then those select people decide to go to Morro Bay. I just don't know if it ever be
unless they did it as bought it as part of a package they advertised, which was the Morro Bay car free weekend. In which case, since you'd make a reservation, we'd know on a given Friday there were 10 coming or 8 coming or 16 coming, and you know, it's basically a Friday to Sunday over X number of limited weekends. But Ed,
I was going to say, I think you'd have to prove to some business entrepreneur that this was the case. If this were a viable business by this time, someone probably would have said, you know, I can make a business plan out of this and make some money and form a business or taxi service or some kind of delivery service from the train station to Morro Bay hotels. It hasn't happened. And you'd have to prove to some business person that you could have enough people at that train station every Friday night and enough to return on Sunday night to make it pay. And until that you can do that, no one's going to do this.
Well, I might have to make a presentation then one of those Thursday morning Roses Landing.
Or go to some service that is now already in that business and convince them that they should add another leg to their business and make it to Morro Bay.
Well, Susie suggested, she said she was behind the Hearst Castle bus the other day on the road, and she says, and I went to the Amtrak site because I know that they do package tours from L.A. that involve 3 days, two nights, and the Hearst Castle. Unfortunately, on the Amtrak website, they no longer put all the vacation packages. You now have to click and send for the printed brochure, so I'm going to have to get a hold of the printed brochure, but the idea is, see who's doing the bus. Any bus that's on its way to the Hearst Castle isn't going up the 101 and over on 46 is my guess. It's coming up the 1 and it has to pass through here. Maybe there might be some way we could piggyback if they're using a large enough motor coach on that trip. Because they've got, if it's an Amtrak package, they have to be meeting the same train our people would be meeting, and they have to be putting them back on the same train.
Silverado used to offer, and I don't know whether they still do, as part of a tour to Hearst Castle, and they actually stopped here and dropped people off at two or three of the hotels.
Be in that business, because they have to package it such that the people that are going to ride on that bus have a, you know, it's an economical thing. And I know that there are some hotels that can accommodate them, but others just can't drop their price that much, even if it's midweek. We used to have more, I think, didn't we?
Yeah.
Didn't we used to have more bus tours come through here?
Yeah, that's something that I think we should bring up at a future meeting. It's like the bus tours completely forgot Morro Bay. One of the other entities that you could check into, David, would be, I know Central Coast Wine Tour has limo-type vans or big vans where they can haul wine tours. And that might be, if they've got three or four vans, if there's something arranged and shown up, that's when they're not working anyway. You might want to check.
Okay, well, I'll make those calls, because I also realize now dealing with Amtrak isn't the thing. I probably have to talk to Caltrans, because they're the ones who really do the coastal service in partnership with them, and they're the ones who contract the Silverado buses that carry the people to and from Fresno and up to Paso Robles. Like I said, they tell me they can justify the bus connection to Paso Robles, but they can't seem to justify the one to up the coast here.
If you could offer a limo company a fixed rate, like so much each weekend or so much each trip or something like that, then they would obviously be able to offer it. The problem is, one day you'll have two passengers, one day you'll have 18, and you don't know how that's going to be. So some firm or entity in the city who is interested in this is going to have to sort of bankroll this and stand in the middle. And that's, I think, the difficulty with the concept.
Or we get $1 billion of state funding, just extend the rail line to Morro Bay.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm up for that.
I think that would be the key. And, you know, these bus companies and limo companies, you talk about people that feel in the gas crunch, believe me, it's going to affect their profitability big time.
I think you'd only have to extend the rail from the men's colony. There used to be a spur there.
Right. Yes, there was. I know they took those tracks up a few years back. No, it's. I did the math on it, and if you're driving some kind of big old, you know, a hefty vehicle gets 15 miles to the gallon, and it's a 450 miles round trip to Los Angeles, and 30 gallons of gas at 350 a gallon is $108. But the round kind of a weekend, it's just a matter of putting it together in a way they can get to it. But anyway, we're just tossing that out. The brainstorming session would continue. Ann had...
I came across this on the web. It's an organization called Coastwalk, and it's located, their headquarters is up in Sebastopol. But they have walks along the entire coast of California. And they happen to have one scheduled for our area, July 30th to August 3rd, 5 days. And we'll be camping over Montaña de Oro, and then they will be hiking to Morro Bay, and they will be visiting the museum, and then they suggest that they walk into town and so forth. They've got family walks, and they've got scholarships for kids to go summer walks. They're a nonprofit. They've got an extensive calendar and a list of activities. They have newsletters on their website, which is coastwalk.org. But I think it might be a good organization to look into, to reach out to, since they do have publications and they do. They're very active in the coastal and the environment issues, even politically, as well as setting up these tours. And they do have a local person that's leading a hike, I think, up Black Hill.
Did you go to the page marked, I'm sorry, did you go to the page marked news and links? And I'd be curious to know who their links are, and if their links are the cities that are served along their hiking path.
That was another.
Maybe make seeing that Morro Bay or got linked.
That we could be linked to them.
To the coastal guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nancy's not actually at the computer, but maybe if we went to their site.
How many people do they get for these camping, walking things?
Well, I looked at some of the pictures of previous walks, and there, I think one picture at the beach here in Morro Bay looked to have about 60, 70 people. And I don't know whether that was, it looked like mostly adults to me. So, it's, you know, I'm thinking more of people who will come back with their families, when, you know, if they have been reached out to.
Have a motion now to adjourn the meeting. Anyone have a motion?
I move that we adjourn the
meeting. I'll second that.
All right. Billy, you want to vote on the adjournment before you depart? All in favor?
Aye.
The meeting is so adjourned.